Well, and welcome again from Golden Lake, Ontario. If you have your Bibles, let's go back to our theme verse. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've been thinking for the last couple of Lord's days about how to behave ourselves or how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. So we'll read again, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Watching your Bibles, Paul says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." There's probably very few things that are more needful in the Christian life than to know what to do. For over 40 years in the Lord's work, traveling here and there, one of the greatest, most common questions I think that I was ever asked was, "Well, what's the Lord's will for me?" I don't tell them this, but I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure it out for myself. Why do you think I would know what God's will is for your life? And that is true in a specific way. In your particular life, I got it. How would I know God's will for your life? But there are general things in the scriptures that we often overlook. And if we just take that which is obvious, that which the Lord tells us for His children, for His people, it will help us then to run through the sieve of the Word of God and prayer and good counseling and observation by other Christians to know sort of what God's call and what God's plan is for our life. So this is one of those general statements. Okay, this is not specific to you or to me, but for the people of God. As Paul writes the letter, it was specific for Timothy himself. So we've worked through this a little bit, and today will be my final thought about these things. By no way have we begun to exhaust the truth of how we ought to conduct ourselves. It's the entirety of Scripture, but we have looked at the house of God, which we've retranslated. The household of God, you remember that we might know how to conduct ourselves in the family of God, the household of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. So we've gone over that. I suggested in order to know what we should do and how to do it, we got to know who we are. Now, this is a little bit symbolic, and yet it is literal. Do you know, as a believer, that you're royal blue blood? Did you know that? Like, you're a child of the king. You've been adopted into his family. I mean, there's no higher calling. Listen to this: heirs and joint heirs with Christ. All that God has given to his son belongs to us. We are in the family. Well, as a child of the king, you ought to behave yourself. You ought to act like it. You ought to represent the Lord. So we talked a little bit who we are, how we got there. Well, one of our sessions, we mentioned the baptism of the Holy Spirit taking us out of our old position, which was in Adam, placing us in our new position, which is in Christ. Hallelujah. We are there and forever, might I say. And then we talked about these spiritual gifts. We didn't really talk about the gift, but that we all have gifts individually, uniquely to you. If you're going to behave yourself, conduct yourself in the house of God, you know who you are, how you got there, what you got. You walk up to your spiritual locker in your locker room and open it up. God said, look, I got all this, has got your name on it. This is for you. It fits. It's right. It works. Please use it, develop it, and know how to conduct yourself. Last week, we talked about total dependence on the Holy Spirit. You only got two options here. You're either conducting yourself in your own strength and wisdom and personality and knowledge and all that. We call that the flesh. That's just like you apart from God, whatever resources you might have. And then we've got the indwelling Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our teacher, our convictor, our enlightener, our helper, all these wonderful names given to the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, as Jesus was to his disciples when he was on earth, the Holy Spirit is to us now in his absence. He said, when I go away, I won't leave you by yourself. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the helper. I'm going to send you another comforter to be with you and all these wonderful things. I think I should pause right here and say, in this little in this little Bible school that I attended, one of the courses for a whole year, two semesters, was on the Holy Spirit. And first time I took that, I didn't do very well. I didn't fail it, but the president of the school said to me, Joe, I think you should take that course again. And I thought, I don't want to take that course again. You know, I don't want to get that behind me. And anyhow, I took that course again. And it's probably the course that I remember the most out of the 4 years of all this classroom stuff. Little did I know how important that would be in my life in years to come. I commend to you a study in the scriptures on the Holy Spirit of God. Just as a little side note, you won't be disappointed. You'll be very encouraged and very prepared for what may come your way to give answers to those who might ask you. So we talked a little bit about that, the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts, his coming, his indwelling, and all of that. So I want to move on now to another aspect of how we ought to conduct ourselves, behave ourselves in the family or the household of God. And that is, if you're taking notes, we ought to be obedient to the Lord and his word. Now you say, well, that's a no-brainer, right? Like, if you're going to be a Christian, you certainly ought to love the Lord and obey his word. Yeah, that's right. That should be a no-brainer. Well, why do we have to study that? Because we forget, and because we ignore, and because we resist, and because we just don't think sometime about it. So let's go to the Gospel of John for a few verses. Chapter 14, please. If you're going to be in the household of God, and you ought to know how to behave yourself, just write this down. Loving the Lord, obeying his word. That's a great thing to do for a child of God. A few verses here. John chapter 14, Verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do you see anything conditional about that? If you love me, show me. Like, do something. Remember he said to Peter at the end of John's gospel, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked Peter three times if he loved him. And Peter answered yes all three times. He was a little bit fed up with the whole thing the last time. He was grieved. He was upset. "Why do you keep asking me?" And all three times the Lord said, "Show me. Do something. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep." Like, respond by obeying what I'm asking you to do. Okay. Let's look at verse 21, same chapter. Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," emphasis, keeps them, "it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." See, love is like that. Love is not just say, "I love you," whether it's to your girlfriend or boyfriend or mom or dad or your wife or your husband or your children. It's not just to, "Oh, I love you." There's always corresponding action to manifest that. So again, Jesus said, "You got my commandments? Okay, great, you got them. That's not enough. Now you need to keep them. And if you do keep them, then that is evidence that you love me." But it doesn't end there. He goes on to say in that verse, "He who loves me will be loved by my Father." Now, and the Lord Jesus. How would we know that? God didn't sit in heaven and just say, "I love you." He's manifesting. He's declaring it. Okay, he's showing us. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Wow. See, there is reference here to the indwelling spirit. When you and I, by the grace of God, accept Christ as our Savior, oh, a wonderful thing happens that the disciples didn't experience until later in their lives. See, when Jesus was there on earth with them, he wasn't in them. He was with them. That's okay. That was great. That was good. But he was about to leave. And when he went to the cross, bore our sins, died for our sins, raised again, ascended into heaven, "I won't leave you alone," he said. I won't leave you orphans. I will come. I will send the helper." And we talked about this before. "I've been with you. He's going to be in you." And then he adds a note, "Forever." Oh, you know what I take by that? He's going to be with us in heaven, living in us in heaven, Christ in us. Paul would write to the Romans and say, "If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." I mean, this is one of the proofs of salvation. God the Father, God the Son, coming to live in us in the power of the person of the Holy Spirit of God. So love always is manifested like that. So Whenever you read the Word of God and obey the Word of God, whenever that happens, and hopefully it's often, hopefully it's all the time, that is like saying to the Lord, I love you. And he responds, I know, you're obeying my word. Good for you. Yay for you. You're a faithful Christian. And this is how we conduct ourselves. Just recently, my wife and I had this conversation, and we were talking about how discouraged and disappointed we've been with certain individuals. And I just off the cuff said, can you imagine how God must have felt about Israel, the nation, his people? She said, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about how disappointed he must be with us. Don't worry about Israel. Worry about ourselves. When we are obedient, and I don't mean legalistically. I've said before, do you have to have a verse to do what's right? Can't you just go by your heart? Just the Spirit of God working in your heart, and you want to please the Lord. You want to say, Lord, I love you, not empty words, but manifested by obedience to the Word of God. Don't you just want to do that? I know it's hard, and I know we don't always do it, but this is how we conduct ourselves in the family of God. We love the Lord. We love His Word. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have learned thy statutes. Okay. That's what discipline is about. That's what God giving us a spanking as His children is all about. We get a little off. We get a little rebellious. We get a little cynical, or we get a little discouraged or depressed, and the Lord says, it's okay, it's okay. I can work with you. Listen to me. And as a child of the King, then this is one of the ways that we can conduct ourselves. Much more could be said. Let me get on to one final thought before we wrap this session up. To behave myself in the house of the Lord, the family of God, let me suggest this. We need to represent Jesus to the world. It's one thing, hey, isn't it great to be able to sit down in a building? You got a lovely building. Isn't it great that other Christians join you? It's the first day of the week, Resurrection Day. And you just remembered the Lord and the breaking of bread and drinking of the cup and singing about Him and talking about Him and praying and all these. It's so encouraging, And it's good to represent the Lord Jesus to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a great thing. Keep doing it. But we have another commission, is to go out those back doors when the meeting is over and go into a world that doesn't know Him. Just a couple of verses. First of all, Colossians chapter 2, the book, Paul's letter to Colossae, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. And verse 9. For in him, that is the Lord Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When When Jesus was on earth, the disciples said, "Would you show us the Father?" He said, "Have I been so long with you and you didn't get this yet? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," he said. So when the Lord Jesus was on earth, he was the fullness of the Godhead. I take that to mean he represented God the Father, he was God the Son, and he represented the Holy Spirit. Bodily, he was in a body, he was in flesh and blood. The Lord Jesus on earth representing the Godhead. Let's go to another reference, Ephesians now. Just back up a little bit. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1. And let me begin reading in verse 22. Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 22. And he hath put all things under his feet, God under Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. Notice, which is his body. We've talked about that. Now notice, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let me see if I can put this thought together. Jesus on earth, bodily, representing the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus now ascended into heaven, leaves his spiritual body on earth. Well, who is that? What is that? Well, that's us. We've talked about that. We are members. We are the body of Christ and members in particular. He is the head. He's in heaven. We're on earth. And the scriptures say we are the fullness of him. Now, here's my point. When he was on the earth, he was the fullness of the Godhead. He represented the Godhead. He's gone. In his absence, are you with me? We represent him. We're his hands. When he took the loaves and the fish and broke the bread and distributed the fish with his hands, he's gone. We do that now. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. We are the expression of Jesus. We represent the Lord Jesus. How do you conduct yourself in the household of God? Well, these are some of the ways. We represent the Lord Jesus. So I'm almost embarrassed to ask you the question because it reflects on the speaker as well as the listener. How are you doing with that? When people meet you, when people see you, when you're at school or at work or in the community, wherever you are, how do people recognize you? What do they think about you? Is it possible that you are representing the Lord Jesus every day, all day, in every location, in such a way that when you meet people or interact with people, they go, "What's something different about this person? There's something good about them. There's something right about them. There's something honest about them. There's something loving about them. And if they have any knowledge of God or the Lord Jesus, do you think it's possible that they might even think that there's a connection between you and the Lord? We're representing him. I mean, we are even called his ambassadors. Wow. Let's suppose an ambassador from Canada went to China and he got over there and he didn't do very well. Finally, somebody said, "Where are you from? Who are you?" When they should recognize an ambassador from another country by his language, by his way he conducts himself, they should. He should be promoting his country. He should, they should say, "Oh, that's the ambassador from Canada. Isn't he a lovely guy? I wonder if everybody in Canada is like that guy, I mean, that would be the right answer, right? What do they think?" I've heard that this, it's not good, but I've heard it. If that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Wow. Chances are that person's not even a Christian, but he says he is, or she is. In the family of God, we have a great privilege being a representative of Jesus in his absence. Well, it was a fad. I guess it's over now, but it went something like this. You get a little bracelet, and you put it around your arm like this, and on that bracelet was WWJD on the bracelet. It was just little beads, little, some were square, some were round, and little leather thing through it, and it had WWJD. And it stood for, "What would Jesus do?" We should hang them around our neck and hang them off our ears and put them on our arms and wear them as a cap. I'm being silly, but that's what should fill our minds. How can I represent Jesus in this conversation, in this activity, in my job, at school, wherever I am? So, anyhow, that you might know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these thoughts that challenge our hearts, and what a great privilege to think that the Lord would want us to represent him. We can hardly imagine it. Lord, help us. Help us to do a good job today representing you to our fellow Christians and to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for the challenge.